So we have been exploring God's next steps for legacy, looking back at Joshua's last speech to the Israelites and to help them to leave the legacy that he wants them to leave, that God wants them to leave. 2 weeks ago, we explored Joshua's last speech to the Israelites, and we learned that Joshua was challenging them and us to finish what they started, but to remember that we will never be done reaching people for the Lord. We must always be careful and be faithful. We must be careful and be faithful to take the risks God is calling us to take. Our first step to honor the legacy we've received is to retire our debt. Last week, we're challenged to make our defining story, the story that shapes everything that we are, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and share that defining story with our kids and our students and our teenagers, generations above and below us, to build the legacy that God desires in the present. Our second step is a building expansion, increasing the size of the youth room, adding 2 adult classrooms, and a nursing mom's room. Today, we're exploring step 3, reminding us that we at our core are a sent people, blessed to be a blessing to others. That is the legacy the world needs, us to go and to bless other people. In step 3, God is calling us south. A year and a half ago, I was at a frame shop downtown. So I'm chatting with the clerk, and I'm waiting for my framed picture to be brought up. And we're chatting. She asks what I do. You know, I say, I'm a pastor at Legacy Church. She goes, oh, where's that? So, well, we're in Northwest Bismarck. We're north of 43rd. Just keep going to North Washington, and you know, you run into us. So she says, oh, really? Wow, I never get that far north. I never travel north of Century. And as somebody who grew up in Bismarck, I think, I don't think Bismarck is that large. Really, you don't drive north of Century? And so a year and a half ago, the seed is planted that has Bismarck really grown large enough for us to have a second campus, another site, a second site where people gather under the legacy name? If you'd have asked me a year and a half ago, I would have said no. And over the last year and a half, things have happened that have changed my mind. And now I'm here in front of you today to say, yes, I absolutely believe Bismarck is large enough for a second campus. And not only that, that now is the time to take that step. So why do I believe it's the case? Why do I believe that God has prepped us to be one church in 2 locations? Well, the first is that it is who we are. It is who we are as Legacy Church, as Methodists, as Christians, as followers of the Lord. We are a sent people. We are blessed by God to bless other people. It is the legacy the world needs. Even before Joshua's final speech to the Israelites, going back another almost 1,000 years, generations before Joshua and Moses, God calls Abram. And this is what God tells Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, go from your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. To be faithful to what God was doing required Abram to leave everything that he knew to be sent to a new land with only the promise, the only knowledge that God was going to be with him every step of the way. From the very first call of Abram 4,000 years ago to today, followers of the Lord have been a sent people. We have been a sent people that go when God tells us to go. The Lord continues in Genesis, I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God is going to bless Abram and his descendants with land and resources, but it doesn't stop there. They're not supposed to hoard all their blessings. They are supposed to be a blessing for all people, for the whole earth to be blessed by the followers of the Lord. They are blessed to be a blessing. We, as likewise, are called to bless other people with the things that God has blessed us with, our time, our relationship, our talent, our treasure. Notice that the blessing does not come for Abram until he goes. He is not going to be blessed if he stays in his homeland, but God says, go, and then I will bless you. There is a requirement to take a risk, to take a step. You must be sent before the blessing comes. Fast forward almost 1,000 years. Moses leads the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and Joshua takes over for Moses once he dies. And then, in Joshua's final speech, after they've secured some of the promised land, he says this in chapter 24. He reminds them of everything God has done for them. These are a couple highlights. Joshua said to the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they worshiped other gods. But I took your ancestor Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him into the land of Canaan. I gave him many descendants through his son Isaac. I gave you land you had not worked on. I gave you towns you did not build, the towns where you are now living. I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. So fear the Lord, serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. Joshua reminds them God has blessed them and has blessed them for generations. God has done incredible things for them. They must commit to serving God alone and living as a people blessed to bless others. And when you know that the first call of Abraham is to bless other people, and you read through some of the Old Testament books with this lens, you see it all over the place. Even in places like Leviticus, where it seems to be nothing but law after law after law, you run into these random little tidbits. There's a tidbit in Leviticus where they're talking about harvesting rules, and they're not allowed to pick up any of the grapes or things that fall into the ground, and they're not allowed to do that because of the foreigners that travel through their land. Make sure they have something to eat. So even in the Levitical code, even in the laws that we might think are absolutely boring, written into that code is Israel's charge to be a blessing to other people. They've been blessed, now they must bless others. We are a sent people to bless others as our core, as followers of the Lord and as Christians. Jesus reminds us in the Great Commission, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and to be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. The earliest Christians lived into this charge, lived and knew that Jesus was with them no matter what, to try new things, to go to new places, to endure incredible hardship, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. More than once in Acts, Christians are dragged in front of the rulers of the city for causing this holy disruption. And here's one of my favorite charges against these Christians. But when the rulers did not find the Christians, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. How cool would it be to be known as the people who are turning the world upside down? Or we'd say, we're turning the world right side up, where people are finding hope and life and purpose in Jesus Christ, where the people are becoming free of sin and addiction and anger and gossip and lust, where the Holy Spirit moves and we say yes to whatever God is wanting to do in our lives. Talk about the legacy the world needs. I want that charge to stick to me. He is one of those people turning the world upside down. As followers of the Lord, as Christians, we are the sent ones blessed to be a blessing. As Methodists, it is encoded in our DNA to go. It is who we are. In 1850, one out of every three people in the United States was Methodist. How did they do that? We went to where the people were. We went, rode hundreds of thousands of miles on horseback. Wherever people were on the frontier, we were there. We were apostolic. We were entrepreneurial. We were adaptive. It's been said there were two sounds you first heard on the frontier, hammer and a knock. Your hammers and nails building homes was immediately followed by a knock on the door. And that knock on the door was the Methodist circuit rider telling you about Jesus. As legacy, we are the sent ones also in that same vein, blessed to be a blessing. We exist today because 120 years ago, Christians across the river saw a need for a church. All the lives transformed and changed, all of the pastors and leaders raised up is the result of that decision more than a century ago. It's at our core to be entrepreneurial, adaptive, and apostolic. 20 years ago, we started taking steps that slowly extended our ministry beyond our walls, preparing us for the next inevitable step today. 20 years ago, there was a parish nurse on staff and would carry a VHS tape to share weekly worship with all of our shut-ins, our homebound attenders. You guys remember VHS tapes, right? I had to go down into our storage room this morning, and there was not a small amount of dust on this drawer. But this was a VHS tape, and our parish nurse took it around to all of our homebound attenders. I still remember growing up, my father had a huge shoulder-mounted video camera, and the technology of the 80s, it didn't have a VCR in it. So he also had to strap a VCR on his shoulder, so he was carrying a shoulder-mounted camera and a VCR to record our various moments. And now, you got that and more right here. Technology is cool. So, our leadership team 20 years ago said, well, is there a way we can save the parish nurse some work? Could we get our service on cable access? They explore it, and sure enough, our ministry extends yet today to cable access, 3:30 every Sunday. The next step after that was online worship. You can now hop online anywhere in the world and join us live for worship, and you can replay it throughout the week. Next came our connection with Moffitt. Moffitt is a little church in Moffitt, North Dakota, and we got to play a part of God resurrecting that nearly closed church to 40 people in worship. Next came Watford City. We were a part of that new church start, and even though it didn't work, it's on hold. I cannot tell you how healthy it is to try new things, even if they don't work. Then came all of our partner churches in Center and Turtle Lake and Washburn and Beulah and Hazen. Corey Thrall is the pastor there, and just one story. Center has gone from closing to now having more than 40 people in worship. Isn't that awesome? Sound familiar? What happened in Moffitt is happening again in Center. The next inevitable step, looking down this list, is to try to become one church in two physical locations. As Legacy, as Methodists, as Christians, as followers of the Lord, we are the sent ones, blessed to be a blessing to other people. It is the legacy the world needs. That's the first reason why my mind was changed, that I believe we are called to go south, to be one church in two locations. Second, South Bismarck, in particular Lincoln, is a growing part of town we can't effectively reach from this location. Now, research shows that only 25% of anybody that has to drive 18 to 25 minutes is even going to give your church a shot. If you've got to drive around that 20-minute range and longer, you are likely only going to reach 1 in 4 people. The drive is simply too far for unchurched and seekers to give our church a shot, to make regular worship attendance and class and group and serving a regular possibility. Last week, I showed you this list, the top 4 fastest growing areas in Bismarck. And we are primed to reach 3 of those 4 right here. But the 4th one enters that range of we're not really going to have too many seekers or unchurched people come from Lincoln. It is simply too far. Even some of you on the south side of town that drive up Washington, that may be a long drive for you depending on the traffic. Third, friends, God is already moving in Lincoln. We have connections with 23 households in and around Lincoln already. There's a Wednesday night kids group that meets in Lincoln. One of our adult life group meets there. And an apostolic grandmother. By the way, how awesome does that sound? I want to be an apostolic grandmother. An apostolic grandmother, an entrepreneurial grandmother from Tuttle, wanted her grandkids in Sunday school. There was no Methodist presence there, so grandmother from Tuttle drives in every Wednesday to do a Sunday school. She was bummed there was no Methodist presence there, and instead of whining and complaining about it, she did something about it and has a Sunday school class that is made up more than her grandkids on a Wednesday night. Susie is her name, and this past summer at our yearly gathering of Methodists, she was presented with an award. You're going to see the presenter talk about Susie's story, and you're going to see Susie at the end of this video. Watch this.
In Tuttle, North Dakota, population 80, Susie Height has for years planned and organized a vacation Bible school and a Christmas program that regularly attracts 40 to 60 children from pre-K through 6th grade, and also involves over 30 volunteers from youth to senior citizens. Recently, because of her own grandchildren, she felt a burden for the lack of a United Methodist presence in Lincoln, North Dakota, a fast-growing suburb to Bismarck. She decided to begin a Sunday school on Wednesday afternoon. The group first gathered in her daughter's home, but soon grew a bit large for that space, and they are now meeting in the conference room of a local excavation contractor. Each Wednesday, 7 to 9 children of grade school age met for a Bible lesson, Bible memorization, crafts, and a snack. There are also 2 or 3 adults that help with this program. As a retired teacher, children are her passion. But she has been approached about something for the adults.
Well, all I want to say is it's all about the kids, and it's all about getting them to know Jesus and to love him. So thank you.
Friends, we are the something for the adults. We're being called to take a step in entrepreneurial risk, to partner with Susie with what God is already doing there and see where it might lead. There were 7 to 9 kids last fall, or last spring. This fall, she's up to 16 kids, most of whom do not have a church home. That is awesome. There's a Holy Spirit spark moving in Lincoln, and God is calling us to dump some gasoline on it and see just what might happen. God is moving on the south side of town. So why should we become one church in 2 locations? It is deep at our core to be the sent ones, blessed to be a blessing. South Bismarck is growing. God is already doing stuff there. 4th, God has given us the person to lead and to pastor this south site. In May, we affirmed God's call on Andy Early's life to be a pastor. And surprisingly, although not so surprisingly anymore, as I go back over this last year and a half, Andy has the gifts. He has the calling to start something brand new. So Andy's going to come and share a bit of his story with us this morning. Let's welcome Andy today. So, Andy, tell us a little bit about your call to be a pastor.
Yeah, I started in ministry in Houston, for those of you that don't know, and I was in youth ministry, and I did about 5 years of youth ministry, growing that, and then moved into adult ministry and got to a place that it was becoming pretty clear that I was needing to take the next step, and what that was going to look like, I wasn't sure. And so about 5 years ago, I started really praying about, you know, is God calling me to become a pastor? And was getting very positive feedback from my Wise Christian Council and just really rolling that way. And then all of a sudden, we also about the, you know, middle of that process, decided to move to North Dakota. And so that was just a real interesting thing. That was the hardest thing, making that move was, you know, I think you're calling me into this role. What's up with this whole move to North Dakota? And it's just funny how God does these things. But so we moved, trusting, and then got here and have just kind of been on the same thing. And it became very apparent that this is what he had planned as I was moving forward. But when we were leaving, I was talking with a lot of my friends there, and I just told them in Houston, I was like, well, I think, please be praying for me, because I really feel that God's calling me to plant a church. And so probably 4 years ago, there's a bunch of Presbyterians in Houston that started praying for a church plant in Houston, in North Dakota. So that's the start.
Oh, that's awesome. So you, so tell us a little bit more about why you feel like you're gifted to do something new.
I've always done, my previous career was restaurants. And my favorite thing to do in restaurants is open new restaurants. I've been involved in opening about 12 restaurants at one level or another, doing different things. I just love the opening process and everything that goes into it. I'm a very systematic person in kind of how it works. I love seeing things and how can we improve this? How can we do that better? Seeing people grow into new roles and new responsibilities, and just taking something that was not there and building it from the ground up is something that fires me up. I got a little charged up just right over there, I got to be honest. Yeah. But that's a big part of why. And then God just, once again, he just keeps revealing new things that I didn't even realize were in my being as I've gone through this process that seemed to be just very affirming through this entire process.
So in addition to Andy going down this track of being evaluated to be a pastor and doing all of the work that entails, there's a whole nother track of, are you gifted to start something new? Are you gifted to reach out to new people in a new place? And you've been doing some of that. Tell us a little bit about how you've been evaluated to say, yep, you've got the gifts to do something new.
Yeah, this process has been, like I said, very affirming, just really a positive, exhausting process. As Dan and I talked about going through this licensing process, that alone was really, really, you learn a lot about yourself and what God had maybe planned for longer than you're realizing. But then in the second side of it, on the church planning side, you know, my favorite part was an interview. We sat over in the room there online, an online interview that Joanne and I had to be in that was like a 6-hour interview. And so we're talking to these people for 6 hours and they're going over everything. And I had taken all these psychological evaluations and all these things they had given me, just these whole array of tests. And at the end of it, one of the things he said, well, on all your tests, on all your psychological scores, he goes, you are the perfect church planter format for that. And I'm like, well, why didn't we just say that at the start of this interview? And he was real fun. He was laughing about it. But then they gave me things to work on. And leading in restaurants and being, you know, over people, I've always been mindful of, you know, when I can share my faith, when I shouldn't share my faith. You know, I don't want to put the company I work for at risk. And those of you that know me know part of my call is I can only be so silent. That's just how I'm wired. And so it was fun. They challenged me. They said, you are not evangelical enough in sharing your faith. And it kind of surprised me a little bit, but I had been suppressing that. And as I went through, I was looking at my spiritual gifts, and that is one of my gifts that is there. It's a latent gift. So it's been fun the past the past months of this process. God has just kind of placed people in my lives. I'm over at a restaurant working, waiting tables, and just able to go, you know, be the salt and light in the middle of people and not have to worry about that now. And it's been so fun to just see God working in those areas and those things, and I look forward to where that goes afterwards. But it was fun. He told me to keep track of people. And so in the 2-month period, I had something. I came back with a list of like 75 new contacts. And I even got on Facebook now. I just did that. And just striking up new and old relationships. And it's been really fun to be able to do that. And I look forward to seeing what God's going to do with those new relationships as we go forward. And hopefully just growing his kingdom. Because it's him. It's not me, it's he. Mm-mm. You know, he's the one that has been working in this, and that's it's fun to be used by him.
Excellent. Let's thank Andy. So the word Methodist means methodical and thorough. So he went through 1 6-hour psychological evaluation, and that's not the only one. So Andy, we are methodical and thorough. Very detailed. All right. Last summer, when he did licensing school, I was then at a meeting last fall, and I ran into Andy's roommate, who roomed with him at this pastor licensing school. And he goes, oh, you know Andy? I said, yep, I know Andy. He is incredible. He's an awesome pastor. I said, yep, he is, and all of Legacy agrees. Every time Andy preaches, you all have said you want more of Andy. So it is great to have that affirmation in his life. So the final reason why I think God is calling us to be one church in 2 locations at this time is that God has provided the resources. So this past winter, we received an estate gift from a woman who passed away in the Moffitt Church. Remember, Moffitt is the one that we got to come along with the ride for to see God resurrect from almost closing to 40 people in worship. The only reason we received her gift is because we took the apostolic step. We said, yep, we'll partner with you and we will see what happens. Remember, you need to go. You need to take the step like Abram did before you receive the blessings. So now, the very first gift to the Legacy Onward Project is from a woman who is so excited that we took a risk to help her church. We now can go again and do likewise. We can be a blessing to other people. So her gift, along with dollars from the denomination and Andy's fundraising goal for 2018, fully funds Legacy South for 1 year. Isn't that cool? So, these are the 5 reasons why my shifting has changed in the last year and a half, and why I think we are now to be one church in 2 locations. It is who we are. Of the sent ones, blessed to be a blessing. Lincoln is growing rapidly. God is already moving there. God has given us the person to lead the new project, and God has provided the resources. You know, if it was only one or two things on that list, I wouldn't be leading us to go in this direction. But all five, and especially having the person to do it, that is an incredibly hard position to fill. But all five together tells me God is wanting us to take this step. God is wanting us to take this risk and see what happens. It's been said there is no more powerful thing in the world than an idea whose time has come. Well, the time has come for us to extend our ministry to site number two. So what does this timeline look like for this? Andy comes on staff January 1st. Well, we'll be nice. You can have the holiday. January 2nd, Andy comes on staff. So he is going to focus on life groups on the south side of town, reaching new people, connecting with new folks, and putting together a Legacy South lead team. We're targeting roughly 1 year from today to be holding weekly worship services somewhere on the south side of town. If you've been at previous churches that are multi-site, you know some other multi-site churches will beam in parts, like will beam in the sermon. We're not going to do that. We are going to be fully live, flesh and blood people, music, message, preacher at both places on the same topic every week. We felt like for us in our context, fully live, flesh and blood is going to have the best chance at success. The bottom line, for the majority of us, life continues as normal. We're committed to this place. We're invested here with our time, our relationships, our treasures, and that's great. So we become the prayer warriors. We are the cheerleaders. We are the parents to this new baby site. So first, we pray for guidance as we take this step and for God to raise up new people and new leaders for this endeavor. Second, let Andy know people on the south side that don't have a church home that you're connected with that might be attracted to the way that we do ministry here. Third, some of us are not excited to hold worship, likely in a school, to set up and tear down week after week after week. But believe it or not, some of you are. Some of you get really excited when we talk about new things in a new place, and this kind of project is for you. If this stirs your heart to action like it stirred Andy's heart, you come alive talking about new places and new things, talk to Andy today. God is probably calling you to be a part of this project. What's fascinating in my experience, and research shows this to be true, when churches start new things, new sites, both places grow. In Mitchell, we were two separate churches. We were not one church in two locations like we will be, but even two separate Methodist churches in the same town, they both grew because something new was happening. There's energy there. There's the Holy Spirit doing something. In 2014 in Mitchell, South Dakota, there were more people in a Methodist church than they'd seen since the 1980s. Friends, our God is not a God of scarcity, but a God of abundance. There's a boomerang effect in new endeavors. New people come forward, we learn new things, and that enhances us to do even better here. Now, let me be clear, though. This is an entrepreneurial effort. This is an apostolic effort. And as such, there is no guarantee of success. We've absolutely weighted it to the side of success with things happening in Lincoln, with resources for Andy and I, but there's a possibility that it could not work. It could still fail. So what are we out if it fails after 6 months or a year or 2 years? We would have invested in Andy. That is the expense of the first year as a full-time staff person. And who we all agree needs to be a pastor. And new people will be engaged in life groups and serving at various levels. We would have lived into our DNA to be the sent ones, blessed to be a blessing to others. It is the legacy the world needs. Friends, in my book, there is no lose here. It is a win-win, success or failure. There is no downside. Friends, God is doing something around us and wants to do something through us. We all get to play a part. And every indication is that this is going to be an amazing ride of lives being changed. May we go from this place taking the next step of faith in our own lives. Whatever it might be for you today, it might just be joining a class, a life group, finding a place to serve, to grow in your giving, or it might even be to join the Legacy South launch team. May we go to be the sent ones, blessed to be a blessing to all that we meet this week, to keep turning the world upside down. Friends, that is the legacy the world needs. Let's pray together. Loving God, we are so thankful for the entrepreneurial Christians that made the choice to come across the river 120 years ago. May we take this step in their honor, to be the sent ones blessed to bless others. Going south where you are already moving in people's hearts, it is the legacy that the world needs. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.